Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang. And today on the Strang Report, I'm interviewing none other than Glenn Beck. He's all over the news. He's on Blaze TV. But I'm going to talk to him about a movie that is coming out called Nefarious. It's coming out April 14th. It's a major movie. It is very well done. And when I saw it, I wanted to interview him because he has a small part at the end of the movie, which we'll talk about in this interview. My interview is more of a conversation. It isn't a hard-hitting journalistic interview necessarily, but we talk about the spiritual aspects in this movie because the movie, and I don't want to give away the plot, but it's basically about demon possession and how demons possessed a man who ended up doing some horrible murders and ends up on death row. And it has a surprise ending, and it has to do something with Glenn Beck. But this isn't about the plot. It's about spiritual warfare and the fact that even in Hollywood, the message is starting to get out. This is not literally a Christian movie. It's not preachy. Glenn and I talk about that a little bit, but it is very, very well done. And I really encourage you to see it when it comes out. But I also want you to stay tuned for my interview with Glenn Beck. And then at the end, I'll come back, make a few comments, and show you the trailer. You want to see this trailer. Of course, you can see it on other places online, but stay tuned to this interview. One of the best interviews I think I've ever had on my podcast.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and welcome to Glenn Beck. I feel like I know you. I've seen you on TV so much, including Tucker Carlson. I mean, you had just the right thing to say at the right time about what our country is going through.
You know, it's getting, how do I say this? But, you know, the Lord has shown me some things for the last 20 years and has put me in a position to warn people. And that's not a fun job, and it's becoming a more and more frightening job. And, you know, when they went after Donald Trump, I mean, that's a tripwire for a banana republic. And it's also a tripwire for those people who are really, really angry. I mean, I'm angry. And I feel we've lost the republic as we've known it. But if there's violence, we lose the country. We lose the country. And I think the left has wanted violence from the right for many, many years and been trying to get it. And, you know, I came in the next morning and I just prayed. I read my scriptures. I told my producers to just pray. We didn't need our production meeting. I wasn't going to do any show prep. I just wanted to hear the words the Lord wanted me to say. Because everything that we do now, everything that we say, everything that we do is going to chart the course for the next chapter of freedom or slavery in the entire world.
Well, I agree with you. And in some ways, you're a prophetic voice in our generation. And there are spiritual dynamics going on that most people, especially the secular culture and the media, don't deal with. But on Tucker Carlson, you were talking about putting on the full armor of God, which is, you know, imagery from the Bible for protection spiritually. And of course, we're here to talk about this movie, which is all about the work of Satan and everything else. But we're seeing it right before our own eyes, aren't we?
I've said this for years. It hit me during the Occupy Wall Street movement. The things that became almost ritualistic with them, I started seeing them and I'm like, this looks like Baal worship. or Baal worship, however you want to just pronounce it. But this is Moloch, Baal. This is ancient evil. And I don't think most people know it, but we have become a we've become an empty shell, and we have chased God out. And in doing so, you know, there's going to be a God. Man will have a God, and I think evil has entered our house, and we're not willing to admit it. And you know, the full armor of God is needed, especially the feet of peace. Shod your feet in the gospel of peace. We have to be moving towards peace. And it's harder and harder every day because we want to strike out.
You know, maybe we can come back to that, but I want to talk about this movie, Nefarious, which is coming out April 14th, which is not far. And I've had the privilege of seeing the screener. And I watched the screener as a favor for a friend. I watch a lot of those in my line of work.
Yep.
And I was blown away.
I have to tell you, exactly the same experience. I mean, I know Steve Dace, and he's a good friend of mine. And I, you know, volunteered to do a scene in the movie, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I see screeners all the time. And usually when they're brought to you by friends, you're like, oh, do I tell my friend this sucks? And this shocked me. It is so nefarious, is so well played, the demon in it, so well played, that if it wasn't an independent and about God, that guy could win an Oscar. I mean, I thought he really was just tremendous. You really get the sense of evil and what it's like and what it does to an individual.
And it was shown dramatically. Now, in Christian circles, you know, some Christians ignore demons. There are some Christians who probably emphasize it too much, but it's always sort of theological and it's doctrinal and all this. This was not preachy at all.
No.
It just showed evil and how evil possessed this poor man that was accused of this crime and ended up dying, of course, for his crimes. But, you know, I kind of heard, I heard it was a horror flick, and I thought, I'm not sure I want to watch it. But
yeah,
it went way, way, way beyond that. The horror was just the evil that was there.
But it's not like a bloodthirsty horror. It's not horror for horror's sake. It's horror because it feels so real. You understand how it took this guy, how he allowed it to come in bit by bit. And then it demonstrated the possession and the joy of destroying him and destroying everything that is good. It is horrifying. It is horror, but not in the typical way.
And of course, it was in some ways an extreme story, but there's this kind of demonic influence many places, maybe everywhere. You know, even the things we were talking about before, there's demonic influence causing people to act certain ways, don't you think?
We are not fighting flesh and bone. Scriptures tell us that very clearly. And we are, I happen to believe, and you know, people have said this, the apostles said this, and so who knows, but I think we're entering the end times. We're entering the times that if we're lucky enough, we are the people to prepare the way of Christ and his return. And maybe not. I hate to go through all of this. And then, I mean, I know we'd have a lot more to go through, but you know, it gives me hope that Christ is coming. But it is so clear to me that we are witnessing evil, and evil thinks it's going to win. And it's you know, the shout your abortion thing is so evil and so arrogant that it's shocking. I mean, it's kind of like we were talking about the movie. It's really a horror show. If you look at what's being celebrated, the death, the culture of death that's being promoted in Canada, the cavalier way of mutilating our children, the shout your abortion. If this isn't evil that we are battling, I don't understand it.
Well, you're right. It is evil. And, you know, my purpose in doing this podcast was to get people to go to the movie, and I'm going to show the trailer at the end of the podcast. But there's, you know, I don't want to ruin it for people because it's a very clever storyline and a surprise ending, frankly. I was surprised to see you. You were, yeah. It was probably easy for you because you were playing yourself.
So many people came up to me that were, you know, part of the movie, and they were like, Glenn, you were so good. And I was like, I was playing me. That's not really hard. You know? Not a lot of acting involved in that. I have not watched the end. I couldn't stand watching myself. I think the end is it fits with the rest of the movie. It's surprising, shocking, and good.
You know, there is one thing the movie reminded me of, and that was C.S. Lewis and his book Screwtape Letters, in which demons are talking to humans about what demons do and how they possess people and what their goals are. Now, of course, it's fiction, but it's fiction dealing with spiritual truth. Yes. And that's kind of what this was like.
Well, that's what Steve Dace tried to do. I mean, he was writing a modern day Screwtape Letter. It feels like that. I mean, the nefarious, the way he is mocking man and laughing at man. And, you know, you think you're so smart. You think you get it because you have a PhD or an MD. You don't have any clue. I mean, it's very Screwtape's letter.
But yet most people are blind to it. A lot of people ridicule it as just superstition. However, with the way that the world is going, it's almost like some people are more open to understanding that this is just more than bad people. There's really spiritual powers at work.
You know, it's funny. I never understood a couple of things. I never understood how a country like Germany could go so dark and not know it. And I think I understand that now. I'm seeing it in my own country. And I also didn't understand how people just wouldn't see. I don't want to say couldn't, wouldn't see the truth. And we're seeing it right now. I mean, it's so obvious to those with eyes and ears. It's everything, the ideas that are going around right now that are so 10 years ago would have, even the most liberal person would have said, oh, that's completely insane. That's evil. We'll never do that. We're not just doing it. We're celebrating it in many cases.
And there's not much pushback from our side. Very little pushback.
I thought about that after Donald Trump was indicted. I want to say you should go out and protest, but there is no Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King knew what he was facing. Martin Luther King knew he was going to die. Martin Luther King knew that he put his family in danger and everything else. And just like the days of Martin Luther King, he wasn't the first pastor to be asked to do it. You know, he was, I think, like the eighth person that was asked to stand up. He was just the guy willing to do it. Where are our pastors? Where are our preachers? Where are our priests? Where are our rabbis? Where's anyone that will lead this country? Half of the country wants to speak out, but they are afraid to speak out because they don't know who they're standing with. Martin Luther King made it very easy. He showed us the path. Before that, it was Gandhi that showed Martin Luther King. Before that, it was Jesus that showed Gandhi. Where are our religious leaders? Where are they? Where are churches?
Well, I agree with you entirely, and I've written and talked about that too, not as eloquently as you do, but I'll go back to what I said before. I believe that God is raising up other voices.
Oh, yeah.
You, Tucker Carlson, are almost like prophetic voices, identifying the problems and calling for action and trying to draw attention to it.
I will tell you that I think everybody, I talk to so many Christians who will respond to things like, you know, what are we going to do? Well, first thing we need to do is repent, turn to God, beg him for forgiveness and beg for his blessings and then get into his service. Forget, hey, how about you just help save babies' lives that are being aborted? How about doing that? And not through violence or anything else. Just if you have the money, buy an ultrasound for a pro-life pregnancy center. Sponsor ultrasounds. Do something that where you're in the service of your fellow man and in the service of God. And then trust that he will fix things. And people say to me all the time, Glenn, yeah, I know we gotta pray, we gotta do that stuff, but what are we really gonna do? And I'm like, do you believe in the God that raised Jesus from the dead? Because if you believe in that, saving our country is kind of something he can do, I don't know, on lunchtime. It's raising him and resurrecting the Christ, that was a kind of a big deal. So you either think that it only happened at that time and now God's hands are off the wheel, which is absolutely untrue, or you don't really have faith in God. And people also are not looking at the redemption that he gives us. I am the biggest screw up. At 30 years old, my whole life was just horrible. I had done all these things and bad, and I screwed up my whole life. And there was either, you know, go further into alcohol and drugs and repeat my mom's life, which she committed suicide when I was 15, or surrender and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you, Lord, and repent and put your life back together. And once you do that, once you put your life in line with him, he'll use you. And he's not going to the experts, because when's the last time you heard an expert that was right on anything? He's using the meek, the humble, the broken. And how many broken people do we have? Start believing in him. Align your life with him and his way. And he'll use you. He's begging. He keeps going to people. He's gone to all of the experts and the preachers, and they're like, well, I don't know. I mean, I got to keep the doors open here, and I got to keep the tithing coming in. He's already talked to those people. He's looking for someone who is broken and humble and just wants to serve him, because you've discovered you don't have a clue on what you're doing. You can't fix your own life. He'll use you.
Every human being has to come to that point. You did it because of the horrible circumstances in your upbringing and your life, but really everybody comes to that point. And as a culture, our culture is beginning to be at that point. In fact, there are some indications of a spiritual revival just because things are so bad. You probably heard about the revival that happened at Asbury University. Yep. And there's other examples of that, the success of the Jesus Revolution movie. You know, there are different things we can point to. Part of it is understanding what's going on. A lot of people are just confused. They don't know what's going on. So thank you for articulating it. And in the, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction than I planned, but it goes along with something that you mentioned earlier about Baal and Moloch and some of these ancient gods, because I have the privilege of knowing Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who has written about this. In fact, I brought a copy of the book with me, Return of the Gods.
Reading it right now. Fantastic.
It is. And he explains he's able to see these ancient, you know, they would have been called gods. We don't believe they were gods. We believe there's only one true God, but they were spirits that were actually exorcised in the first century when Christianity became the dominant religion. You know, there were people that worshiped these gods no more. However, they're coming back in a different way with a vengeance. Moloch was sacrificing babies. Well, how do we sacrifice babies?
Yeah.
And then, as you say, they're celebrated.
The same thing. They worship Moloch. I haven't gotten to the part where he was talking about this in the book yet, but it's my understanding worshiping Moloch, you would go and have an orgy and you'd all have sex. So you were celebrating this in the woods. Then you'd come back 9 months later pregnant and you'd sacrifice your child. What are we doing? We are glorifying sex. We're glorifying filth. And then we just kill our babies. We may not be saying we're putting them on the altar, but we are serving a God that is saying, no, it's all about you. You do what you want. That is a God, no matter if you want to admit it or not. You're serving something other than the one and only God.
You're absolutely right. And there's a third God. It's actually a goddess that went by different names. Ashtaroth was the one in the Old Testament, but also Venus and Aphrodite. And you talk about orgies, and she had male priests that dressed like women. They had parades. There was transgenderism. You know, I mean, it's such an eye-opener to see, and it also helps explain why it's come with such a vengeance. It's almost like a religion. People,
it is a religion. It is. This wokeness, there are high priests, and you will be excommunicated. If you will not toe the line, you will face the Inquisition, and they will destroy your life. And everyone you know, it is a religion.
Yes, but as believers, we know the Bible is true, who says that greater is he that within us than he that's in the world. And we have to believe that God is in control and maybe giving America one last chance, because you're right, it looks pretty bleak, but there are signs of hope. And I believe that people like you standing up is a sign of hope. Even this movie, in a way, going into the entertainment industry and not preaching, they don't really talk about the Bible, but kind of showing it. I believe it'll open people's eyes. I'm encouraging everyone I can to go get to see the movie and take their friends to see the movie. In fact, I understand that people can go online. I wanted to be sure to say this, to whoisnefarious.com and buy their tickets and go see this. This is a sideline, but I believe that we need to support people who are, you know, trying to do something important and not just let it fail financially, because it makes it harder for the next person who tries to do something.
Yeah. And we are getting very good at this. I mean, 12 years ago, I bought the Paramount Movie Studios in Dallas, and, these things, you know, they made Silkwood, Born on the 4th of July, JFK, all made in these movie studios. And I said at the time, we have got to get into culture. And at the time, a lot of these movies were very preachy and not very good. We're there now. It takes a while, but we're really starting to get very, very good at it. And we're talking now internally and with some other people about starting to train actors and actresses, you know, not sending them into the lion's den and then hoping one of them will escape and come and produce something good and wholesome and meaningful. We need to stop going to the barrel and start picking them from the tree.
Well, as we're wrapping this up, I want to give you the last word. Tell people why they should go see this movie, or say anything else you feel is important to say.
We are not fighting flesh and bone. We are fighting evil. I am a historian of sorts, self-taught. But as you go back and you look at periods of world history, there are times when evil just took over. World War II was the last time that true, virulent, dangerous, vicious evil was on the earth. It's back, and it is now our turn to beat it back. But you have to understand that it's real, and that it's ingenious. And I think that's what you'll see in this movie. There is a purpose for showing it to you, because I think a lot of people will, they might believe in evil, but they don't necessarily believe that it's a force. I don't understand that, because it is a force, and it's on the earth today, and it's raging. See the movie and understand the force is real.
I wanted to come back and to show you the trailer for this movie, Nefarious. And you can see the condemned man, and you can see the demon speaking through him. And there's a whole thing in the plot with the lawyer that's interviewing him, because the lawyer has to declare him sane for him to be executed, that state law. And I won't go into more than that, but watch this. Go out and buy a ticket. I'm going to take my friends to it. I've been talking about it with people, because it's powerful. It is billed as a horror movie, but as Glenn Beck said, it isn't horror in a bloody, gory kind of way. It's just the realization of what's involved, about how serious demon possession really is. Now, this is done in a dramatic kind of way, of course, but there's demon possession at many levels. Unfortunately, there are many people that are demon-possessed, and even those who aren't, many are oppressed of the devil, and spiritual warfare and spiritual things is a reality. We need to understand it, and here's a movie that gives us a peek into this world in a way that only a filmmaker could do. So watch the trailer, buy a ticket, and tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report. Share this with other people. Put it on social media. This is my way to get the word out. Glenn Beck came on my podcast to get the word out. We're doing a lot of things at Charisma Media about it. There's a lot of other media, of course. I'm seeing a buzz, and this is just my part. But I need you to help us. And that was the point I was trying to make, to put it, you have your part to do, to go see it, take your friends and put it on social media. Thank you. And here is the trailer.
Hello?
You should have accepted my offer, James.
Execution scheduled for 11 p.m. But he's trying to convince us he's gone insane.
And therefore incapable of being executed.
I need you to prove he's faking it.
Edward?
I'm gonna ask you some questions.
I'm not Edward. I'm a demon.
Demons aren't really a thing.
What happened to Edward?
We own him.
He's a master manipulator. You have your head so twisted around, you think you're the killer, not him.
And give me something to make me believe you. Prove to me you're a demon.
It's probably just a coincidence.
I want to talk to
the real Edward.
Makes me do bad. I can't stop him.
I need you to see something. You got a fan. Did the same thing with all his victims.
Help me!
I'm trying to, Edward, but you have to answer my questions. You have to tell me the truth.
It won't let me!
It can go away. It can go away. Yes?
No. It's starting to happen. Can you feel it, James?
Feel it. think it's time we tell you exactly what it is that we'd like you to do.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com. In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.